Thanks for checking out the New Hope podcast. We believe this message will encourage you and transform you into who God is calling you to be. You are loved. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking today about a character. He was a dreamer. Any dreamers in the house this morning? Anybody like, when they were in middle school, they just looked out the window and dreamed about going to high school? Right? It's like, I can't wait to get out of this place. Like, this is awful. That was me, right? And then when you were in high school, you're like, man, I can't wait to be done with this place, right? And now you have a full-time job, and you're like, Lord, you're dreaming to go back to middle school, right? Like, wow, there was like, I got 3 square meals a day. It was amazing. So we're talking about dreamers today, and I'm excited because you know what it says in Psalm 139? It says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that God created you and loves you and has a plan and a purpose for you. Now, you're thinking about dreams today. Yes, there's a couple dreams. There's daydreams, right? There's dreams while you're sleeping. Anybody have some really good like dreams while you're sleeping lately? Like, oh, I love those, right? It's usually, I don't get them as much as I used to because I don't sleep much, but it was fun while it lasted when I got to sleep a lot. It was good. Those type of dreams. And then there's kind of some natural dreams that you get. You're like, man, I want to do this. I want to do this in life. Remember when you were a kid, you wanted to be an astronaut, right? Any astronauts in the room that you wanted to be an astronaut? You wanted to be a firefighter or a police officer? Any of those? Come on. We got some of y'all living it, right? Yes. We got some really good firefighters in this room. And you know, anybody wanted to be a doctor? It's like, no, it's way too hard. Yes, we got one over here. And then a superhero. Who wanted to be a superhero? Like, yes. And who is a superhero now? Yes. See, that's what I'm talking about. There's lots of dreams. And then the last type of dream is a dream that God gives you. I'm going to make up my own term today, a God dream. And those are the most important dreams, I think, because God, He created us. Don't you think that in our DNA that He created us to dream and to dream big, but also He said we were created in His image. Don't you think if we were created in His image, if you believe that, and you're a part of His DNA, don't you think that the dreams that you get aren't just for you? That aren't just about you, that they're going to go beyond you. They're going to leave a legacy. We talked about legacy last week. Don't you think that when you dream, it's going to outlive you? So we're going to be talking about a dreamer today. Can I just be really honest with you today? I'm going to tell you a true story about me. And we were at the football game on Thursday night watching the middle schoolers destroy. Who'd you guys play? Yeah, they destroyed it. It was awesome. So I was at the football game, and Emma is there with me, and we're talking to some friends from church, and Emma just out of the blue says, "My dad's awkward." And I didn't know what to say because it was awkward that she said that. So I looked up awkward, and really it's just kind of a character. Like, my dad is a character. He's awkward. You know what? We got a lot of awkward characters in the room today, right? So I'm going to tell you a story that might kind of make me sound a little crazy, but I'm going to try to tell it to you as clearly as possible. About 10 years ago, I had a dream, right? It wasn't like, I have a dream. You know, it wasn't on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial or anything. It wasn't that cool, okay? But I had this dream. Like one of those dreams that wakes you up in the middle of the night. You ever had those dreams and you got to write it down, you got to put it in the notes on your phone, and you're like, man, I gotta write this down. And then you can't get back to sleep. Have you ever had one of those dreams? You're like, it was so vivid, It felt like I was there in the middle of this dream. But you know what was amazing about this dream is I visually saw things in the dream. And I was preaching to a group of people. But I didn't just see that I was preaching at this place. I felt what was happening there. I felt like it was home. I felt like it was really special. I felt like there was so much diversity that it almost felt, it wasn't heaven, but it was almost heaven in this dream. And you know what happened? I'll pause in the middle there. Tara and I have been married about 13 years. And we spent a lot of time as youth pastors kind of like going across the country. We lived in Denver for 4 years. We're youth pastors there. We lived in Wichita, Kansas. Anybody ever been to Wichita, Kansas? All right. It's awesome. I was going to say you're not missing anything, but it's pretty amazing there. People are awesome. Then we're in Sarasota, Florida. Anybody been to Sarasota? St. Armand's. We live just like 5 minutes from there. So we were all over the place, but we never felt like that was the place. Like, we loved doing ministry in those places, but never felt quite like it was home for us. This dream felt like home. Felt like I would someday be a part of this dream happening. It felt like it was a place where I could use my gifts and my abilities for the Lord. And you know what? A year ago, this month, when I came up on here and preached the first time in this building, that dream and that reality collided. I felt like I was home. And I say all that not to talk about me, but to say, you know what? God has really infused dreams into our DNA. He's given us dreams. You're saying, Pastor Landon, I'm a senior. I'm older. I don't think I have. Yes, you can still have dreams. And God will still bring those dreams alive in you. You know, maybe today that is a similar to your story. You know, maybe today you have a dream, or you had a dream, or you have hope, but it's not quite realized. You haven't really experienced going from dream to reality. Maybe some of you are that today. Maybe some of you have given up on the dreams that God's given you. You know, God has given you dreams for a reason. You know, it's not just for you. But it is for you. Isn't that awesome? Where it's for the people around you. It's maybe for a whole community of people. But God has given you a purpose and a plan and dreams for a reason. You know, today we're going to talk about a dreamer from the Bible. His name is Joseph. Everybody say Joseph. Joseph. You know, let me give you a little bit of background about Joseph. Joseph was 17 years old. 17. Any 17-year-olds over here? Let's have one. Okay, stand up if you're 17. Oh, come on, let's welcome the 17-year-olds. I don't normally, thank you. Well, I don't normally do this, okay, because if we did happy birthday to everybody at church on a Sunday morning, we would do it all 52 Sundays. But I want to say a special birthday, happy birthday to a few of my closest friends because they have the same birthday as me. Mr. Max over here. And Miss Martha right here. Share a birthday with me. Max and I are about the same age. It's pretty awesome. Same height. It's amazing. So Joseph was 17 years old at the beginning of this story. He was the youngest of 12. He was the favorite of his father. Now, is there any favorites in here today? Like you grew up and you could tell, like, I'm the favorite. You know, my siblings get upset. Okay, yep. Okay. Put it down. All the teenagers. Listen, I went home to Canada recently to a family reunion, and my brother and sister were there. I have a brother and a sister who are blood related, and then I have like a whole heap load of step siblings, okay? I'm not going to get into the story right now. But anyway, my siblings, Jared and April, when I come home, they start complaining about me, right? Yeah, mom had her car professionally cleaned in case you drove in it. I'm like, whatever. They're like, Mom made all the special food for you again. And then he lives right down the road. My brother's older than me. He's like, yeah, and I haven't seen Mom in like 3 months. But she made all your special food. I'm like, whatever. So, and I just tell them, I'm like, it's not my fault that I'm the favorite. But he was the favorite. His dad made him a special coat. And it was colorful. And imagine, you're the youngest sibling of 12 rough and tumble dudes that work with animals and work in the fields, and you show up and you're like, hi, you know, I've got the coat, right? And you're out there, and they're slaving away, and they're sweating to death, and you show up in your coat. Hey guys, you're doing a good job, you know. It's gonna be pretty quickly that you're gonna notice your brothers aren't gonna be overly happy about you, right? So that's a little bit of background. Let's look quickly at the dream, the couple of dreams that Joseph had that kind of gave him a really bad reputation around the house. Okay, ready? Genesis 37, verse 5 to 11. So Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. So he's already the guy with the special coat. He's already the favorite of dad. And he's 17, young whippersnapper. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves, so bundles, right? Bundles of grain out in the field, when suddenly my bundle rose and stood upright, while your bundles gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? It's like, dude, you're already the favorite. You already got this snazzy coat. And now you're going to tell us this dream? So let's jump to the next part. Then he had another dream, and he told his brothers, listen, he said, I had another dream. And they're like, oh, great. Everybody say, oh, great. Oh, my goodness. I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. It's like, okay, Joseph, you're going a little overboard here with the dreams. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. You know when you have your kid and they do something really strange? And only, like, that's only a face a dad could love or a mother could love, right? So the dad's kind of like, you kind of went overboard, but then he's like, well, it is my son, so I'm going to keep these things in mind. So let's pray, and then we're going to jump into this message today. Lord, we thank you today for this message. We pray today that you would speak in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, there's probably a good way to go about telling your friends or your family about dreams, especially if you're the youngest brother, right? There's probably a good decision, but did you know that 17-year-olds, listen, I'm not, this shouldn't offend you all, okay? All right? But your brain isn't fully developed until you're 25, the science says, right? So I don't think he quite figured out, like, I don't know if I should come out and tell this story quite like this, but he did anyway, right? And Joseph, as a 17-year-old, really didn't plan telling the family about the dream, right? So I want to tell you just can I tell you in a snapshot about this story? Who doesn't know the story? Like, I don't want to call anybody out. I'm going to tell the story, okay? I wasn't planning on doing this, but I want to make sure you see the big picture, okay? So what happens after this dream? What happens after this dream? His brothers says hated him even more, and they conspired. They're like, let's kill him. And then one of the brothers is like, no, we can't kill him. Let's throw him in a pit. Okay? So they threw him in a pit. Like, hey, there's some merchants. They buy people. They buy and they take slaves from here and go to Egypt with them. So let's sell them to these merchants. So they sold their brother. Now, I used to get pretty upset with my siblings, but I think I would get in a lot of trouble if I sold one of them. Right? And you're probably the same way. You're like, this is not a good plan. So they sold him, and then the merchants took him to Egypt, And a guy named Potiphar. Everybody say Potiphar. Or if you want to be really articulate, it's Potiphar, right? Potiphar bought Joseph, okay? And he started serving in Potiphar's household. Potiphar now, he was the captain of Pharaoh's guard, all right? This guy is pretty high up in Egypt, right? He's like a governor or something like that, okay? So he buys him, and you know what? Before long, Joseph rises to the top. He starts working hard. You know what? Imagine being thrown in a pit and then sold from your brothers and going off to another country. Wouldn't you be pretty depressed? Joseph, like, it's just like he didn't, he's like, no, this is the plan. I'm going to work hard and I'm going to do my best and I'm going to keep going on and on and on. Some of us complain when the line at McDonald's is too long, right? Right? Some of us complain that there's not a Chick-fil-A in our area, right? But Joseph, now, he was thrown in a pit and sold into slavery, and he's not complaining, he's working hard. I think we can learn a little bit about a couple things from Joseph, can't we? So what happens after that? Joseph became the highest dude in Potiphar's household, second none to Potiphar himself. And his Potiphar's wife noticed Joseph. It's like, man, that guy is good looking. And multiple times tried to get Joseph in bed. And at this one moment, they were alone in the household, when Joseph could have just said, man, I'll just do it. No. You know what happened was, he ran away from her. He said, no, I want to honor God. I want to honor Potiphar. I'm not having anything to do with this crazy person, right? And he ran the other direction. Now, some of us are tempted by things, aren't we? Right? And we're just kind of give in right away. No, he was tempted, never gave in, went the other direction, and then guess what happens? He gets in trouble. Right? Da, 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 da. Right? He gets in trouble. And Potiphar comes back, make a long story short, Potiphar's wife lied about him. Potiphar's like, no, not in my house, and threw him into prison. So, pit, sold into slavery, now into prison. And you're like, man, what else could go wrong with this guy? Right? So you think back from the very beginning to this moment, it's quite a story, right? And you're kind of starting to think about, like, how does this apply to me? How am I like this? You know, so what happens next? He gets thrown into prison, and guess what? Quickly on, he becomes the leader in the prison. Now, I don't know what kind of prison I don't know what kind of prison you've been in lately, but I just said it. But usually the people that are in the prison aren't in charge. Well, they put Joseph in charge of the prison. What kind of dude is this? They put him in charge. And then soon after that, some of Pharaoh's servants got thrown into prison for various reasons. A cupbearer, a baker, and they have a dream. They have some dreams. And Joseph interprets the dream. So Joseph just wasn't a dreamer. God gave them the gift to interpret dreams. Obviously not his own, right? When he was 17. If he could have been. But So Joseph told those guys what was going to happen in their life. He prophesied and said, the cupbearer, you're going to go back and be with Pharaoh and you're going to serve him again. Baker, you don't have such a good future ahead of you. Your future is very short, just like my height, right? So he said, but to the cupbearer, he said, hey, when you get with Pharaoh, tell him about me. Tell him about me. So a few years went by. And nothing happened. But then Pharaoh had a dream, and the cupbearer said, I know a guy. Right? And that's kind of where we pause, and I'll tell you the rest of the story, and that's the rest of the story, right? Paul Harvey, anybody remember Paul Harvey? and that's the rest of the story. Okay, so that's a little snapshot to kind of get us in the middle of the story, and then we'll close it when we near the end. But did you notice what happens when you get a dream? What happens? Maybe you have a plan. Maybe you have an idea. Maybe you have a business idea. Maybe you have a ministry idea. Well, what happens when we have those ideas? You know what happens? Is we're on this road and detours start to happen. Right? Have you ever been on a road and you're driving down this road, you're like, this is awesome, we're having a great day, and then there's all these orange, big orange signs in your path with arrows saying detour. And you're like, oh, I like going that way. That's the normal way I go. Have you ever been like that? I'm like that. I'm like, I just want to get to my destination and the normal way that I go. But you know what? Joseph had a whole lot of detours, right? We just mentioned some of them. You know, detours take us to places you have never been. Makes you focus, doesn't it? And cautious. You're like, okay, where are we headed now? It does that. Detours, sometimes you have to pull out a map when you're in the middle of a detour. Like, I'm not going this way that they're telling me to go. Anybody like that, like me? It's like, no, I'm not trusting these people to put these signs up. I'm going to go my own way. Right? You know, usually they're working on that stretch of the highway and they're sending you somewhere else. Remember the Garmin GPS? I remember a long time ago we were moving and my father-in-law and I were driving in this truck and he was drinking a whole lot of Mountain Dew, okay? And every, like, so often, the Garmin would say, recalculating. You remember those? Recalculating. You know what? Sometimes in our life, when we're on a road, God's like, no, we need to have a little bit of recalculating happen. And so with Joseph, just one second here. My brother's calling me. Hello? Thank you. I'm just preaching right now. Can I call you later? I love you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that was nice. You said happy birthday. We have fun here at New Hope. So detours, right? That was a detour. I needed to take that phone call. I wouldn't normally take phone calls in church, but that was awesome. Thanks for letting me do that. So he had some detours. Remember we said he's thrown into a pit. He got sold. The whole Potiphar's wife thing. He got put in prison. I have this, and maybe write this down on the back of your bulletin. Get a pen. You might want to write some of these down. I'm going to start giving you points. But this isn't a point, but it's the point before the point. Detours are going to show our true character. Detours are going to show our true character. Right? Maybe when you're in traffic and there's a detour, it's going to show your true character. When a roadblock gets put in the path of your life and something goes wrong, it's going to show our true character. That's something really important to think about. How are we when things change? Like Joseph is 17, right? He's a good-looking dude. He's got the special coat, right? And he's got all these dreams. He's the favorite of his dad. And then what happens? A whole lot of mess, right? And we think in America, it's like, man, if something bad happens, like, life's ending, right? It's over. What am I going to do? I can't do this. I can't pay that. You know what? Detours are going to show our true character. But you know what? We need to be happy that the detour was put in our place. Listen, church, you got to hear this part. We should be happy that God put a detour in our path. Why? Because he didn't want us to go on that road anyway. He wanted us to go around to the other side. That he's got a better road for us to move on. That he's got a better situation for us to be on. Right? Amen. We got an amen on the front row. Right? You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I like taking the scenic route when I'm on a trip sometimes. Anybody like that? I like taking the old road. I like taking scenic highway, not Highway 27. Why should we take scenic highway? Because you get to go through frostproof Florida. Why? Because frostproof Florida is the friendly city, right? God is calling us, saying, listen, I put the detour in your path for a purpose. Don't tear the sign down and go on the same road that you wanted to go on before, because I have a plan for your detour. Amen? Amen. So let's jump into a couple of these points here today. Number one, there is value in self-control living in our do whatever you want culture. Listen, there is value in self-control living in our do whatever you want culture. It's okay to be self-controlled. It's okay to be like Joseph and say, listen, the temptation comes, I'm going to go the other direction. That's a detour. You're not going that way. Amen? Why? I believe because the Lord is with us. You know, in chapter 39 in this story, when Joseph was having all of these detours, what happens? Well, he had four detours. And you know what happens in chapter 39? The Bible says four times that the Lord was with Joseph. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm struggling in life, I want the Lord beside me, right? I want him to be right there, and it says that he is. Once each detour, he says the Lord's with him. Listen to this, Genesis 39, 20 to 21. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. Remember the whole Potiphar's wife thing. The place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Now, when I'm in the middle of my detour, I want the Lord beside me. The second part of this, Joseph was committed and respectful to God and leadership. Did you notice that? It's like just because you're having a hard day, just because your life isn't going as planned. Everybody's phones are Amber Alert or something. Just because that's going on doesn't mean that we don't stay committed to God. If Joseph had any reason to fall away, he had like four of them. A whole life's worth of reasons to fall away. So Genesis 39, 9 says, no one is greater in this house than I am. So remember when Potiphar's wife came? This is what he says to her. My master has withheld nothing from me except for you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? It shows us that his heart was right. That in the middle of a detour, that his character was on point. Who wants to be like Joseph? I do. He was dedicated. Let's look here at Genesis 39, verse 22 and on. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all of those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done in there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success wherever, whatever he did. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't you like to go places and whatever you put your hands to succeeded? Amen? And sometimes we can, as people, we can kind of get selfish and be like, yeah, that would be awesome. Like, I could make more money if I did that. I could do this. Listen, if we put God first and we're dedicated to Him first, if we say I'm a kingdom builder, then guess what? When we put our hands to something, it will succeed. Yeah. Not because of me, but because of who I put in the place of honor and who I am dedicated to. Second point today, God honors patience and perseverance in times of trouble. God honors your perseverance. God honors your patience. A lot of us have been patient for a long time, don't we? Remember the story I told you from the beginning? My dream took 9 years for me to kind of get to have a glimpse of that dream. But all along the way, I said, okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to keep serving people. I'm going to keep sharing the good news about Jesus to people. Number three, God provides and blesses those who persevere when following Him. God provides. You notice that each and every moment of this story that God provided for Joseph, that He helped him overcome crazy odds. Because guess what? He put God first and he honored God first. Joseph didn't just have dreams. God gave him a gift to interpret them. So God provided a way out of prison. Did you notice that? Did Joseph get out of prison on his own? You're going to notice in this story that God gave Joseph a gift that got him out of prison. You know, maybe you feel today like, man, I feel like I'm in a prison. Maybe it's not a physical prison. Maybe depression, right? Maybe you're having a rough marriage. Maybe you're financially just strapped. Maybe you just don't feel like you have hope today. But you know what? When you put your faith in Jesus, He will provide you a way out of your prison. Amen? Come on, let's praise God for that one. Genesis 41, verse 15 and 16. Now let's focus. I know our phones are going off. It's not your fault, I understand. Let's focus. We're almost done here. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And then look what Joseph does with this incredible character that he has. He's humble. He says, listen, I cannot do it. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Listen, I can't do it, but God can, because my God can do it. Amen? So the simple meaning of Pharaoh's dream, listen, Pharaoh had two dreams, and the simple meaning is this. The first dream that Joseph interpreted is, he said, listen, there's going to be 7 years of plenty in Egypt. Like, we're going to have an amazing crop. It's going to be incredible. But then it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. We're not going to have anything. And quickly, Joseph starts giving him ideas. He's like, you need to get someone in charge of this stuff. And Pharaoh's like, well, hey, you've got God. So I think you're the one. So very quickly, you know, Joseph went from a 17-year-old boy to a 30-year-old man to then at the end of the years of plenty, 37 years old, and he is now he's in charge of all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Now you're trying to say, like, Pastor Landon, like, am I going to be the president next year now? Like, this is awesome. If I have a, I've got a dream, right? Now, this is a big, bold story, isn't it? And we get to see it, the whole picture. And we're living this life where it's like, we just see that next little step, right? God sees your big picture. And so we see here that he got out of prison and went on. And then we hit our last point today. And it's, God is still in the business of giving dreams and allowing you to reach your dreams. God's still in that business. You're like, today, you're like, man, how does this apply? How does this apply to my life right now in 2018? What do I do about this story? Let me read you just the last part of this story so you can kind of see how it ended with Joseph in this dream. A few years into the famine, Joseph's brothers showed up. In Genesis 42:6 says, now Joseph was the governor of the land. This guy was top dog. The person who sold grain to all his people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Now listen, I know, like, we would all, like, like, humanly, like, that's cool, someone bowed down to you. It's not about his brothers bowing down to him. It's not about his family bowing down and saying, oh, you're the best. It's you'll see here at the end that it's not about that. They didn't realize who Joseph was. And so Joseph kind of made them jump through some of these hurdles until he said, hey, I'm Joseph, your brother. And that's kind of where we pick up here. This is the last part. Finally, Genesis 45 says, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants. And he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So that there was no one with Joseph when he had made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him. And Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? You notice here his motivation? That God, in the middle of God's dream for us, that God is going to quickly show us that we're a part of that dream. It's not Joseph was no pawn, wasn't just a pawn in God's story. That God makes things personal. Is my dad still, is he still kicking? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. Come on. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed. And do not be angry with yourself for selling me here. Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Isn't that amazing? You see in this moment that the dream that now Joseph is 39 years old, if you do the math, or the dream that Joseph had way back 22 years before this, was being realized. And you see later on the story, he said, hey, bring everybody, bring the whole family. Bring everybody. You know, at the time, Israel, the nation of Israel, was only like 70 people. That's it. All of Israel was just a few people at that point. So you're like, what's God's motivation in all of this story? You know, God is a God of all time, right? Yesterday, today, tomorrow. What's his motivation? Well, number one, it's the past. He's keeping his promise to Abraham, saying, hey, I promised you that you would be a great nation and you would have many, many people. The second part of this is God is a God of the present. God wants to see your life changed. He in the middle of his God dreams for your life. And so what was it for them? To reconcile and save that family. Isn't that amazing? And then the third one is God is a God of the future. He's always looking to what's the end game? What's the score going to be on the scoreboard at the end? And it was saving the world was his goal. Was having a remnant that would go on and on and on and one day be reconciled back to God. You know that we're living in those New Testament times that say, if we can call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. Can we stand for a moment today? I want to challenge you before we go. Challenge you with one thing today. With one thing today, listen. Don't worship the dream. Don't worship the dream. Follow and worship the dream giver. Amen? Don't get caught up in worshiping your dreams. Get caught up in following and worshiping the dream giver. Because all the dreams that he's placed in your heart, Stephanie, all the dreams that he's placed in your heart, David, all the dreams that he's put in your heart, Miss Alberta, it's all going to come to pass because God has put them in there. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment. If you walked into New Hope today, maybe you walked in here and you didn't know what you believe. You're like, I don't know about this God thing. And you say at the end of this, hey, Pastor Landon, I want to be that. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to put my hope and my trust in Jesus because I believe what you're talking about today. Would you just say that's me by putting your hand up? Say, that's me. I want to follow Jesus today. One, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? That's me today. I want a fresh start in the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Let's pray this together. Jesus, thank you for my life. Thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for raising a few days later and having victory over death, hell, and the grave. I want to follow you. I don't want to just worship the dreams you give me. I want to follow you. Forgive me of my past. Forgive me of my sin. I'm putting my hope and my trust in you alone for salvation. Give me your Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct me. In Jesus' name. And the church said, and the church gave praise to the Lord.